Okay, I'm here with my guest, Anastasia. Is that how you say your name?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm so glad I get to talk to you. I
Me
was watching some of
too.
your YouTube videos. I was watching your one YouTube video about being okay with dying because that's like my biggest struggle.
A lot of people, it really is.
And I don't even know where it started. Like, since I was very young, I've always had like this asphyxiation with like my body rotting and like decaying, and I just ever since then that's like all I think about 24/7. And so I started out watching that video, and then I watched the video. I'm just telling you what I watched to help with my problems. I then watched the video about girls competing with each other.
Yes. So prevalent and not talked about enough. And I feel like it really affects like women's lives in many ways, like from the time you're a kid.
And it's so just granular too. It's so just like ingrained in you.
Yeah, it really is.
But can you explain your background a bit? 'Cause I love what you got your degree in and stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, so my background is I got my bachelor's in broadcast journalism at Columbia College Chicago. So it's kind of like an art school, but they have like a really good journalism program. And throughout studying journalism, I realized like how much I loved making videos and telling stories like digitally, but I also have like a deep passion for psychology. So throughout my undergrad, I was always reading books on psychology outside of studying journalism. And at one point after I graduated, I was like, okay, I kind of hit like this crossroads or like fork in the road, or whatever you want to call it, where I was like, what am I gonna do now? I was like, now I'm not in school. I don't have like that structure in my life of like kind of knowing, you kind of had like a way of knowing, like, okay, I know I have to be in school, but then once you're out of it, you're just like, wow, I'm just free rein to like make my life.
Did you graduated recently?
So I graduated from my undergrad in 2016, and then I went and got my master's in 2018, and I studied at the University of Essex in Colchester, England. And
Oh, that's awesome.
yeah, it was great. It was such an incredible experience. I was living in London while going to school there, and I got my master's in analytical psychology, which is Jungian psychology, so like Carl Jung's theories on the psyche. But we also studied a little bit of Freudian, a little bit of Kleinian, which Freudian and Kleinian is basically very much more like reproductive based psychology and sexually based psychology.
Okay, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Are you kind of trying to go in the direction of making videos and stuff like that and using your degree in that way? Or are you looking to do other things?
So I feel like it's kind of all in the works. So I know that eventually I do want to be a psychoanalyst, which is quite different from just like a standard therapist, because it's like the most in-depth like psychological therapy that you can have, because we explore like dreams. We really like go into kind of, we go into like ancestral trauma. We go into kind of like these more, I guess like fringe ways of like exploring psychology, as opposed to just kind of like diagnosing people and talking about your day-to-day shit. Like it just actually goes like super deep. So I know eventually I would like to be a psychoanalyst. However, I also like would love to teach it. I would love to have an online presence where I can teach people about it more, but I also feel very, very intensely creative. So like I love like thinking of different ideas on how to teach people. So whether it's through like different videos, through music, through dance and stuff like that. So I hope that I can create like an online platform where people can go to and just kind of, have a space to process, through somebody else's process. And I also hope that I could like I want to honestly like be really successful in it and write books and stuff. So I probably will go get my PhD in a couple years, but
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's awesome.
Thank
I
you.
think it's awesome to do that kind of stuff online. Just speaking from personal experience, I have a very hard time going to therapy and like
Yeah.
talking to other people. So I feel like a lot of not healthy, not in a healthy way. I like internal, I want to deal with everything like by myself, not a healthy thing. But yeah, just like having resources for people to like look at things and yeah, I guess experience them without a therapist.
Absolutely. And I also feel like it can be a catalyst for people to potentially seek more help, or at least,
Right.
you know, sometimes what's going on with us, we just kind of need, you know, perspective on it. We need to hear, you know, a different way of seeing things. Like, of course, if somebody has like much, much more like deep trauma, they're gonna need to, you know, go to therapy, or, you know, seek more like, I think, like professional assistance. But I think that a lot of our issues, it can be solved from just, you know, hearing a different perspective.
Right. Yeah. Did you I had spoken with a friend who's getting her master's in social work, and in her schooling she had an overwhelmingly large number of women in all of her classes. Is that something that you also experienced, or was it even,
Surprising.
or
Yeah, it was really surprising. So I honestly wonder if it was different because I was not in America. And I feel that people, especially in Europe, like men are not as afraid of the things that we've associated with the feminine as much as men are here.
Right.
And so my class there, it was actually quite even. Now that
Okay.
I'm thinking about it, we had quite a mixture. And the class was extremely international. We had people from all over Europe, a couple people from America, but we also had people from Brazil, Argentina, the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and a lot of people from England too. But yeah, it was quite even, and also a lot of different ages.
Okay.
And I would say, though, that overwhelmingly, the people that become therapists do tend to be women, I've
Right.
noticed.
Do you have any like hypothesis for why that is, or?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, my opinion is that I think that because from an early age, you know, women are taught to access their emotions, you know, for the most part, pretty immediately. And you know,
Right.
we're taught that, like, you know, women are so emotional, and women cry, and women are weak because of their emotions, and women get extra emotional when they're on their period. So, like, when it comes to like emotions and femininity, a lot of people kind of see it as something synonymous. And so I think because from an early age, you know, we already go into this mindset of like, okay, I have to learn how to process my emotions. I have to learn through trial and error, like how are my, you know, emotions and my inner workings, you know, working its way into my life. Whereas I feel like men are taught like the opposite. And,
Right.
you know, it's in a way we get a head start on, you know, emotional intelligence. Because I feel like men are not taught to access that as much because they're taught to more do things and be active and kind of put more of their energy into like the external. So
Right, yeah.
I wonder if, you know, for women, if it's like we're already like so good at it. We already have that practice, you know, for so many years under our belt that, you know, being able to offer people emotional support almost feels, you know, natural. It's like something we're already so trained in.
Right,
And
yeah.
of course, this is generalizing. I've met men who are incredibly emotionally intelligent and women who are not. And but I would
Yeah.
say, like, you know, more times than not, this is the case.
Right, yeah. I heard something recently that I kind of thought was fascinating, and someone had made a statement that women cry in front of men to try to get like a reaction out of them because men are just so like closed off that we cry more in front of men to, like, try to get some sort of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Do you have any feelings on that?
So, I think, so, okay, there's another, like, meme that I saw that was something like, women are not rehabilitation centers for men to process, like, their emotions, or, like,
right,
we're not, you know, centers for weak or broken men, or it's something along those lines. And I honestly feel like on a very deep level, which I think oftentimes can be unconscious, women will take on so much responsibility for a man's emotion, especially in an intimate relationship, because the man is not processing it. He's not carrying it himself. So I think the woman kind of feels like, okay, I need to also carry and process for him, which is,
right,
you know, totally unfair. And so I wonder if sometimes, you know, when women do cry in front of men to, you know, potentially get, you know, to provoke emotion in him, I wonder if on some level it's kind of like a cry for help, you know, a cry,
right,
to be like, you know, you also need to feel what I'm feeling. And yeah, I think that's my theory on it.
Okay. I'm just so fascinated just with, like, the dynamic of people in relationships.
Me too.
It's such a, like, not cut and dry. Nothing, like, you know, it's just not as cut and dry as I thought it could be.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I'm in my first, like, real long-term relationship, and there's so many just, like, navigations that I didn't think that were gonna be such an issue, and, you know, this one little thing, like, builds up and explodes, and it's not even that big of a deal, but, like, you work things up in your mind, you know, like, it's just, yeah, it's definitely, in my head, because I've dated just, like, cut and dry, kind of, not great guys, like, just not, like, you know, like, they're an alcoholic, or, like, it's, you know, it's just very cut and dry.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
yeah. So, that's been easier for me to, like, understand, but being in a relationship, I mean, I don't know, just being in a healthy relationship and seeing just how different our brains work and how we communicate, and I didn't know that we don't agree. You know, we were having a fight. He had talked about me on his podcast, and I told him that I didn't want, like, our personal life to be online.
Mm.
And he doesn't see a problem with that. But to me, in my head, that just makes, like, so much sense why you wouldn't do that. But to him, he's like, I'm an open book. And I'm like, you know, things that I think are... make sense. I was like, oh, some people have different perspectives on that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's definitely interesting.
I definitely understand, like, I feel like I could see both perspectives, because I feel like on some level there is, like, definitely perks to keeping a little bit of anonymity in your relationship, because then you don't hear a bunch of other people's opinions potentially, which could confuse you, because at the end of the day, it's your relationship with him. At the same time, it could be helpful to talk about your personal experiences for other people, because
I feel like the
vulnerability, you know, makes people feel like, oh, well, if they can talk about this, then I can face this, you know?
Yeah. And I think he was also taken aback by me not... It wasn't anything too personal. It was basically, me and his sister don't get along, and he put it online, and I was like, don't put it online that me and your sister don't get along.
Oh, shit.
But I think he was taken aback when I didn't like that, because we're both comics, and I always tell him that I do stand up to be personal and to connect with other people and to hopefully help other people with the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I told him, I was like, I don't want that on, I think he was just like, what? Like, but you say all these other personal things in public. Yeah.
And you're like, so it's definitely, but not that.
yeah, and it's weird navigating two people who are trying to be, like, in entertainment.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting in that way. Have you ever felt that with all your knowledge of psychology and all these things, is it hard for you to kind of just like be in a relationship without like being too like analytical and like.
No, it's so funny actually. Since I got my master's, I haven't been in a relationship.
You're like, I know how toxic this all can be.
I
Just.
know. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Because, like, before studying, I entered into a lot of really destructive relationships, a few here and there that were pleasant, but for the most part, they were pretty all like horrible. Yeah, just horrible. And after studying, I knew while studying I needed to be single just because it was just so much to take in. And I knew that I couldn't handle taking in all this new information while also being in a relationship because I knew that how I functioned in a relationship was going to change. And I just thought it wasn't a good idea to start something. Though while I was, in the beginning of studying, I was seeing somebody, but it broke off, and in many ways, I'm very grateful that it did because I still really care about that person, and we're still friends, and I'm glad that it ended because it could have ruined our friendship. But I feel like I've just been in a space after where I can just see people's issues almost immediately, and like there'll be things that people will say, and I'm just like, nope. And like I meet guys now where like our interaction, will take like a couple seconds and immediately my brain is like insecure, probably has issues with parents, he has addictive personality. Like I can just immediately see it and I'll tell the guys, I'm like, look, like you're very nice and I don't mind to like hang out with you. We can have something physical, but this will not go anywhere. And that's honestly for the past 2 years where I've been. And it's like I feel like on some level I also have to turn this function off. Like there's some I and it's important to do that. Like I have to remind myself, I'm like, you're not this person's therapist. It's not your responsibility to help them or fix them. And which used to be a problem of mine when I was younger. But now I've kind of reached this space where I feel like I know what I'm gonna look for. Like I know in my heart like what I want in a person, but I hope that I know that also now the person that I would want to be with would need to have a pretty, deep understanding in psychology. Like they don't need to have a degree in it, but that person will need to have conversations with me that are very highly emotionally intelligent. I need somebody who is self-aware and somebody who's at least worked on their shit for quite some time, as I have. So I don't want to lower myself for, So yeah, I don't know if I could say that it's gotten in the way as much as it has helped me and in many ways protected me from hurting myself a little bit more. Though I have gotten hurt in other ways, but because people still lie. Like, even though you're trying to be casual with them, I've had where I've just wanted something very casual with the person, and then they still lied to me. And I was like, you don't, what? I was like,
You're like, just we're on a relationship. Like, what are you,
right?
what?
Like, I was like, you didn't, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I was like, you lie even when it's not a serious relationship, even when, like, you could be with other people. It was so weird. It was very weird.
I
I
feel
feel
like
like
that
that
person
person
probably
probably
has
has
a
a
lot
lot
of
of
issues
issues
if
if
they
they
need
need
to
to
lie
lie
for
for Yes, I know.
something
And
casual.
it happened two times in the past 2 years where like a dude would like come into my life and I was like immediately like, Tasha, no more than anything casual. I would say that. And then they would say all these things to me like, you're amazing. You're the only girl. And I was like, you, and I would even say to them, I'm like, you don't need to tell me this. Like, you. And then they weren't. They weren't. I was like, that's so necessary.
I've
I've
definitely
definitely
dated
dated
some
some guys
guys
who
who
showed
showed
a
a
lot
lot
of
of interest
interest
in
in
me
me
and
and
were
were
talking
talking
to
to
me
me
all
all
the
the
time
time
and
and
like,
like,
being
being
very
very
complimentary
complimentary
and
and
wanting
wanting
to
to
see
see
me
me
and
and
then
then
the
the
second
second
that
that
I
I
want
want
to
to
kind
kind
of
of
like
like
progress
progress
it
it
to
to
something
something
else,
else,
they're
they're
like,
like,
this
this
is
is
just
just
casual.
casual.
And
And
I
I
was
was
like,
like,
but
but
you
you
didn't
didn't
make
make
it
it
like
like
You paid for us to go on a trip together. To me, that's not casual. Like, what are you talking about?
I've been in that position, too, where, like, me and a dude, we were in a relationship. We just weren't officially calling it a relationship. And then I met his entire family before we even met my family. We went on a trip together. He was, like, telling me all these very serious things, and I was like, wow. And then, like, after months of us being together, I was like, so, we're, like, boyfriend or girlfriend, correct? And he was like, no! And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yep, totally been there. Yeah, I was dating this guy, and we had gone on trips together. I visited him where he lived in Portland, and we went on, you know, I visited him, and he took off a week of work just to hang out with me all week. He took me to, like, this dinner where it was, like, $300 a person. Like, I wouldn't do that for someone I'm casually dating.
Same, yeah.
And then, you know, I at the end of my trip, I was like, so are we, like, we're, like, together, right? And he was like, where did you get that? And I was like, what do you mean?
Right, you're like, dude, like, you're like, all of your actions say one thing, so how can you not? I think it's so unfair when people do that. So unfair.
And I was just like, I don't even know what I mean. I wasn't too hurt. I just had this assumption of what was happening, because to me it was just so clear we were in a relationship.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we were talking every single day, like, all the time, and I was like, I don't, what in your head didn't think that we were in a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I was like, we were already pretty clingy. Like, I don't, like, how do you get a, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's funny. I bet you're frustrating to fight with. I feel like if I was fighting with you in a relationship, I'd be like, she knows exactly what I'm going to say and how I'm going to react. And, like,
oh my gosh, I think so. I think I am frustrating to fight with, because I've had people where
you're probably very healthy about it. You're like, okay, let's all take a breath.
Oh my, you know, I wish sometimes I feel like now I almost get, like, even more angry, because I'll tell that person what's happening. I'm like, okay, right. I'm like, this is the problem, and then they won't admit it, right? Because at the end of the day, you can tell someone something, but unless they realize it for themselves, you know, they're not going to realize it. And so I feel like in many ways I'll get, like, super frustrated, because I'll see, like, way ahead of them, and then they're like, no, it's this. And I'm like, no, it's this. And then, like, then time goes by and they're like, oh, you were right. I was like, yeah.
And you're like, I know. Yeah. I went to school for this.
I know. I'm like, yes, I understand. However, you know, I'm still human, and I feel like there's certain things where, like, I'll project, you know, my shit, and then I think it's them, but it's me. And I've also had situations where I would just be, I feel like, yeah, I've definitely also have had situations where I'm definitely, like, more calm, because I can see what's going on. And then in other instances, I'll have to, again, like, remind myself, I'm like, you need to be angry right now, because this person is not treating you well, even though you see what's happening psychologically, you need to get upset. So I'll have to tell myself to get upset, which is a really interesting experience. You're
like, have emotions.
Yeah, I'm like, girl, you need to get really mad. I'm like, oh, okay, blah. And I'm like, this isn't fair.
That's funny. So are you looking to date, or are you still kind of like, hiss no?
So I am not looking to date for still a little bit more time, I would say, because I just feel like there's a lot that I'm processing from my past relationships still that I know messed me up, and I know that it's really tainted how I see the opposite sex. It has tainted how much I trust as well. So I just feel like I'm not in a space to process that with another person yet. And I also feel, like, very focused on my career and how I'm trying to build. And I also don't want to settle in America. So I'm, like, afraid in a way to, like, meet somebody here so that they would potentially keep me here. So I also feel like I have a bit of a wall up in that sense where I'm like, okay, I don't want anybody to make me feel like I have to stay. So, yeah, I also feel like because of my knowledge on psychology and I think just in general being like an emotionally intelligent person and men kind of being so far behind in many ways, and quite often they are, I feel like at this time, like, to find somebody that would actually like be on my level feels not possible. So I kind of like,
yeah, given me an older guy.
Like, you know, but the thing, I've been with older guys and they were worse. And I was like, you're just, oh.
It's hard because I've only ever dated older guys. And especially when you're like way in your early 20s and you date an older guy, normally it's because they have issues. Because, yes, you know, like a normal 30-year-old man would not be dating a 20-year-old, you know?
Yes.
So it's kind of like you kind of have to try to find someone who is at the same emotional maturity level as you, that's older, but also not someone who's dating you because they're even at a lower maturity level because they want a young person.
Yeah.
So
I definitely feel like that's very true.
Yeah.
Because when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, and my dogs are barking. Hold on, let me close the door really quick. But no, I dated a guy who was like nearly 30 in my early 20s, and he was by far the most emotionally immature person I have ever met.
Yep.
Ever. But I kind of feel like, you know, maybe something will happen later, but I also feel like on some level I'm not like mature enough to handle being in a relationship. Like, I just think that there's certain things where I'm like, I feel like my freedom is very important to me right now. And I also kind of feel like, you know, when you're single, like, you kind of, you don't have to, like, second guess a lot of things that you, like, do or say, or, like, exchanges that you make with people, or, like, for example, like, if you're out and you kind of, like, say something a little flirtatious to someone, and you're like, oh, you don't have to think about it. But then when you're with somebody, you'll say something and you're like, oh, should I not say that anymore? Should I not do that anymore? And I, like, don't miss that. Like, I don't miss that. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And then I feel like on some level that might be a little bit of my own immaturity of, like, you know, understanding, like, okay, it's okay for you to say this thing. You don't need to, like, second guess yourself so much.
Yeah. So,
that's another thing.
Are you friends with, you said you were friends with one person that you dated, are you friends with exes, or how do you go about things like that?
So out of everybody I've ever dated, I think that I'm still friends with about four of them. Four?
Okay.
Yeah, I think four. Hold on, let me think for a second. About five. And of all of them, I would say that I'm still, like, actually friends with. Like, I'll actually still, like, call them to be like, how are you? I miss you so much. Or just two of them. The rest of them I'm just, like, cool with. We, like, we're still friends on social media. We still like each other's stuff kind of thing. But out of those five, just two of them that I'm still, like, I care about them a lot.
Okay.
Everybody else?
Nope, zip, zero.
Nothing, oh my god, never again.
I'm definitely someone, like, if I stop dating them, I'm, even if it didn't really end that poorly, I'm like, nope, we're not, I don't want to be friends with you, I don't want to talk to you, I don't, if I have to see you, like, I'll be cordial, but, like, I definitely am just like, this is over, any sort of anything.
I understand that. I think, like, I was that way a little bit more when, well, actually, yeah, I think when I was younger, I was a little bit more that way. Like, I was like, no, that's it. But then I felt like I started meeting people that I, like, really, really genuinely, like, cared about and just had, like, a very real connection with. So it kind of felt like the connection never really went away. And I think that's why I continued to be friends with them, because I was like, oh, I still feel very connected to these people. But the people that I was like, that's it. It's like the connection was just done.
Right. So you have two guys that you're close with.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any sort of like weirdness with that, or for the most part, it's just been friendly?
I would say not weirdness, but more. There's definitely, well, the one guy, like, we've been friends for like 7 years, about 7 years. We met in like 2013, and like we just throughout the years, like, he would move out of the country and so would I, and we would kind of like, we would not talk for ages, and then suddenly I'd be like walking in the street and like bump into him, or I'd be at a club and he'd be at the club, or I'd be in a random place and he would show up and I'd be like, what are you doing? So like, we wouldn't even like try to meet, it would just happen. And for a while he didn't even have a phone. I would still bump into him and I was like, what the fuck? That's
crazy.
Yeah, and we met in a really cool way too, so it was just like, it's fitting, I don't know. But over the years, you know, it became very apparent to us. It was like, we would never date, we would never be in a serious relationship, but for some reason we have stayed connected, and for some reason we continually get brought back together. And neither of us know why. And we just are like, okay, you know, we're in each other's lives. It's cool. And, like, we still hang out. Like, we've hung out pretty frequently for the past couple of years now. Because I'm back in Chicago, and so is he. But I wouldn't say it's been weird as much as it's kind of just been interesting. It's like, oh, like, we are still very connected. And the other person that I'm still friends with, I would say it was complicated at first because I felt like neither one of us was actually, like, accepting, like, what really happened between us. Mm-hmm. And then at a point, I think we accepted it. We were like, okay, that was intense. Like, also, that was very meaningful. And also, I don't want to lose you in my life because I also care about you as a person. So I kind of felt like, again, there it was more of an intensity instead of a weirdness. And we still talk, even though, like, we don't live in other countries. Like, we're still friends. And both of us have, like, you know, moved on with our lives, you know, but I still feel very connected to him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to, like, understand that mindset, because to me, I'm just like, why would you be friends with someone you've dated? Like, I, like, because some people I do like, you know, no hard feelings, but I'm like, no, I'm still not going to be, like, I don't care. There's enough people just like you in the world, I can find someone else to be friends with.
Totally. I understand that as well. I feel like I do have a lot of friends and things like that, but the difference, I think, with these two people is that it was something, I don't know, I think it's just something that, like, you feel, and I feel like it's something where you're like, you actually felt connected to that person beyond the romance. Like, it was, you were actually friends with that person. And, like I said, I didn't understand it for years, but, like I said, a point came where I was kind of like, why, I care about these people more than having sex with them. There's something deeper there. And, you know, with everybody else, it was like they either treated me like crap or I really didn't feel more connected to them than I did on, like, a, you know, sexually attractive connection or, you know, stuff like that. But I think, you know, I think it's possible to feel that way with someone only if there was actually a true friendship there.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, it was awesome talking to you. I know you have to get to
I have a few
appointment.
I know. My computer is acting so weird, so they have to call me and make sure it's, like, working.
No worries. I hate talking on the phone with Apple. It's, like, my least favorite activity.
I feel that.
Well, it was awesome talking to you. I'm so glad we connected. We were kind of Instagram friends. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.